Thunder. said to all of them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
The cross is what we're going to focus on this morning. And Lord willing, for the next several weeks, we're going to take that journey, that way of the cross, and hopefully share some new insights that God would give us in His Word that might help us to walk that way of the cross that Jesus spoke of here. Well, of course, the cross is a symbol, the world's most recognizable religious symbol. I don't think there'd be too much debate about that. And certainly in America, it's very popular to display the cross. And unlike other places, perhaps, where it's illegal, even. We do have the familiarity, at least, with the symbol of the cross, but it's much more than a symbol. Jesus calls his disciples to walk with him in the way of the cross. So I want us to think about the meaning that these words of Jesus have for us. So we're just going to kind of dissect that one verse, which I think is one of the great verses of the Bible. An invitation. He said, if anyone would follow me. Now, you may have a translation that says any man. Really, I think it means anyone. So don't think that doesn't include you. I think there's something here for all of us, because here it says, Jesus said to them all. And I think maybe God wants us to underline that word all in our minds, if not in our Bible, and realize that includes us. And he said, if anyone would come after me, he or she, of course, must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So I think you would agree, here is an invitation. Now, it's an invitation that is preceded by the conditional word there, if anyone would come after me. But nevertheless, an invitation. I think it's so wonderful that Jesus invites us to walk with him in that privileged way of the cross. Paul spoke of it when he said, I want to know him and his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, but he also spoke of the fellowship of his sufferings, because he realized how precious that relationship was that he had with Jesus Christ, who is not just a great man. If we believe what the Bible says, he is God become flesh and dwelt among us, our Emmanuel. So here is an invitation to come. And there in that invitation, I want to suggest there is a who. I don't know whether that's grammatically correct to say that. But a who, meaning including us, each of us, we are invited to come in that way of the cross, to walk with him. He said, if anyone would come after me. So I think we can all say that includes me. Now, I know he said that 2,000 years ago, and we might think, well, you know, Jesus was a historic character, some would say. And he said that to the people of his generation. But I think sometimes we fail to realize that Jesus is speaking to us down through history. If anyone would come after me. There was a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I've never been I've always enjoyed learning lessons of history, but you know, I have to confess, I probably slept through more of my history classes than actually paid attention like I should have. I wish I had read more of history. I plan to do that, Lord willing. But one of the, I think, important persons of the history of the 20th century was this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Christian in Germany, who did not go along with, the Nazism that took over Germany. And he gave his life. He paid with his life for his stand with Christ. He said that when Christ calls a man or a person, he calls him to come and die. And I think he really understood what Jesus was saying here. I was reading recently the biography of Ronald Reagan. I don't necessarily recommend it to you, but the big one, it's called Dutch. And I kind of knew this, but I'd forgotten it, I guess, that Ronald Reagan at one time decided that he was going to go to a German cemetery where he believed that many of the victims of the Nazis were buried. Now, these were not primarily Jews, but there were some Jews that were buried there. But there were also some who were just, victim of the Nazism of Germany. And he wanted to honor those who stood against the Hitler and these really evil tyrants, devil-filled leaders who would take away people's freedom and bring them into subjection. The Bible says the devil is the taker of men's lives, people's lives. He's the destroyer. But Jesus came to give life. And oddly, it's through that cross, ironically, that real life comes. If we will believe what the Scripture says. So it's available to all of us. I think suggested certainly in the words there, if anyone would come after me or will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it involves the will. I think it's so wonderful that Jesus is not like the other totalitarian. In fact, he's not a totalitarian dictator. He comes to us meek and humbly, wanting us to make that decision. He's given us the free will to choose. So I want to encourage all of us to be thinking about that cross, how it involves us. Obviously, the cross is an emblem of death. And it's really what Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others understood the Bible to mean by this, that when Jesus calls us, he calls us to come and die, to die to ourselves, to die to our own desires, and to take up our crosses and follow him away. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's really why we're here this morning, to learn more about that way to which Jesus calls us. I don't know what the future holds for me, let alone for you, but I do know that Jesus promised that there would be a way of the cross for us if we will take up our cross and follow him. What that may entail for you might be different than what it would for me. But it just means that if we believe that Jesus is who he has said in the Scriptures he is, the Son of God who came to die for our sins, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that he indeed is the supreme ruler of this universe. The Bible says through him all things were created. Do we not owe it to him to give our all in return for what he has done for us? I think you would agree. Yes, we do. But we shrink at this thought of the cross because we know what it cost for Jesus to walk that way of the cross. But first there is an invitation that is in this word come. And then there's a stipulation, if you will. Stipulation meaning a qualification, I guess. What is required of us? Well, deny. I think it's summed up in that word deny. Now, not deny Christ, but to not deny self. That is, myself. With you, it would be yourself. And the self is that thing in us that the Bible says is corrupted by sin. Now, we can try to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're pretty good people and, you know, at least we're on the right road, the right track of life. But really in our hearts, if we agree with what God's Word says, the heart is desperately wicked. That is the inner me, the inner you. So what is required to deny himself? It's really the opposite of what Jesus meant when he said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. So a self-denied, a service applied, take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, just think of what that meant for Jesus as he bore his cross. Really, it was why he came into this world. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in the book of Psalms, he said, lo, I come. It is written in the volume of the book about me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. And there's a verse that I remember in the book of Hebrews. Just happened to remember it, but Jesus said there, or the book of Hebrews, said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, does that mean that Jesus had a smile on his face all the time? No. The Bible also says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I think it was that quality about Jesus that makes us still today know that we can trust him because he understands our sorrows, our trials, our difficulties, our struggles in this life, our struggle to live a Christian life in a very hostile world, a Savior glorified. I think it's certainly suggested in these words of Jesus here, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Being a follower of Jesus means that we should bring glory to him and honor him in our lives. And we will, if we will deny ourselves and do as he said here, take up our crosses daily and follow me. Deny, come, deny, and then take. Take, I would suggest, means an elevation. And suggested in the words of Jesus here, take up his cross daily and follow me. I'm interested in Greek and what the original meaning was there. The word there is actually the word that we get our word aeroplane from. Aero spelled A-E-R-O-P-L-A-N-E. I think that was the original spelling of aeroplane, and it means a plane which lifts up. Speaking about the wings, I think. And really the meaning of the word there is lift up. We are to lift up the cross of Jesus. We must deny himself and take up, he said. Now, I think Jesus meant certainly take it up in the sense that Jesus did when he bore his cross to Calvary. And there have been those who have done that. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus means by this, to take up our cross. I think it just means that we are to be his disciples and to realize that there's going to be a cost involved in that. Taking up our cross, lifting up his cross in the sense that we seek to proclaim the message of the cross. Paul spoke of the preaching of the cross being foolishness on the one hand to those who are lost, he said, but to those who are being saved, in other words, those who will respond to that message, it is the glory and salvation of God, or words to that effect. Whose? Well, notice that Jesus didn't say, take up my cross daily and follow me. And I think these words are very precisely chosen by our Savior here. He said, take up his cross. That means my cross. That means your cross to you. So think about that. Think about what Jesus might be saying to you about that. Perhaps some events recently have kind of made you think of maybe what that may mean for you. It certainly means that when Jesus calls us, he does call us to die with him. Now maybe not physically, instantaneously, but there is in Scripture the clear teaching that when we become one with Jesus by faith in him, and he creates that new creation in us, a mystery really, but the Bible speaks of how we become a new creature in Christ, that we also die with him. We have died with him on that cross. Not that we are, we still do not struggle with sin. We do. It's why Jesus said this. Take up his cross daily. That's the win. It's a decision we must make every day, I believe. When we put our feet on the floor, even before we put our feet on the floor in the morning and begin our day, are we going to take up our cross and follow Jesus? I want to suggest one other item. I know this is a shock to you, but I'm going to throw in a fourth point here. So come, deny, take, follow. But because I think there are four imperatives here, if you will, he said, take up his cross daily and follow me. I want us to think about that for a little bit. Think about it, the Savior, first of all. That's who we would understand is who the me there is. It's Jesus. And he says, take up his cross and follow me. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that we focus on Jesus as our God, which he is. He is God, the Bible says. As our Lord, our Master, our leader, our example. And it means, too, that we should study his word to understand more of what that means for us personally, to follow him. Certainly accepting, beginning with that accepting of Jesus as our Savior. If you've never done that, invite him into your life. Ask him to do for you what you cannot do, and that is to save your soul from the sin that will damn you for eternity, the Bible says. Unless you have a sin bearer who is Jesus. So put your trust in him. I think he's speaking there not only to those who have already answered the call of discipleship, but to those who were interested. God had put in their heart the desire for something more in life than just, you know, living the life of in the flesh here for the momentary pleasures and the things the world can give. Well, the Bible says there are pleasures forevermore at God's right hand. And I think God gives us a taste of that so that we might want more. That we might want more of what Jesus is talking about here. Himself. Follow me, he said. The Savior. The steps here. Step by step. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So it never really ends until we are at the throne of Jesus and the Father in heaven. So step by step, the Bible says that daily we should listen to Him. We should be at His gates wanting to hear His instructions, His commands. If you have a military background, most certainly here we understand the military metaphor. Receiving our orders of the day from our commander-in-chief, our the captain of our salvation, and its service. Think of Jesus in his life. How he was so true to his own words. If it was anyone else saying this, we would say, well, those are only words. These are the words of a politician. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, these are people that we would call public servants. I'm speaking of politicians. Some have called them public serpents because too often I think they are following the serpent and not the Savior. But this is Jesus speaking here. He calls us to serve. He calls us to be like Him. And I think of Jesus before His death, how He stooped down and washed His disciples' feet, really teaching us to do likewise. To care for one another, to minister to one another, to reach out to others along the way in love, as Jesus was doing here with this wonderful message of redemption that Jesus offers us in that way of the cross. And